trust in him. Proverbs 35.
Would you open your Bibles, please, to Numbers chapter 11, verse 25. Numbers chapter 11, verse 25. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. Father, we bow with grateful hearts today again that you have blessed us all so richly. Most of all, we're thankful today for the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that he was willing to give himself totally for us. We are thankful that we are saved by your grace, realizing that we're not worthy at all of the blessings which we enjoy every day. We thank you for your care, your blessings. We're thankful for the opportunity to open our minds and hearts to these beautiful verses of Scripture. We pray that you will guide us in these moments of study. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we begin our scripture reading, I wanted to remind you that out of all the inserts that you have in your bulletin from Sunday to Sunday, you will not find one any more important than the one that is inserted there today. I would encourage every one of you to read very carefully every word of this particular two-page insert on restoration to fellowship. One of the greatest things that you and I must realize is that we can be in harmony and in right relationship with Jesus Christ. When we admit our faults and failures and sins, he forgives and cleanses us. 1 John 1:9 tells us that very vividly. We memorized that verse many, many years ago. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from every expression of unrighteousness. I want to encourage you to read and study. Seems like I've desired in recent days when I receive this bulletin to hand the bulletin to someone and tell them to be sure that you read every word of restoration to fellowship. And I'm doing that now for you. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 25, we're going to look just at a part of the verse, even though we'll read every bit of it. Numbers 11, 25 says, "Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him. And he took of the Spirit who was upon him and placed him upon the 70 elders. And it came about that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do it again." We've already emphasized the fact that God moved in a magnificent way with the children of Israel. We reminded you of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. It's amazing to discover that there is an emphasis in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament on the word cloud. And I decided before we observe the Lord's table today that we would emphasize for a few moments this one word, cloud. If you go to the New Testament, you will discover that the word in the Greek is nephos, which is N-E-P-H-O-S. I put this on the screen for you to be able to see that we have two words here. I put them in the Greek and then I put them in the English. Nephos, N-E-P-H-O-S. And then I put the word nephele, which is N-E-P-H-E-L-E. What I've discovered over a period of years, that I don't have to teach Greek. All I have to do is to put it on the screen for you to see time and time again. And without you even realizing, you're able to read the letters in the Greek. And so I thank you for that. The word cloud is the word nephos, N-E-P-H-O-S. Another word, nephele, N-E-P-H-E-L-E. The word nephelometer comes from this, which is a device for studying the nature of suspensions using diffuse reflected light. I'm not sure how complicated that is in your mind, but I wanted you to just see that that is one definition. Another definition of nephelometer is an instrument for measuring the size and concentration of particles suspended in a liquid or gas, especially by means of the light they scatter. Nephelometer, a word that you might want to add to your vocabulary, which means an instrument for measuring the size and concentration of particles suspended in a liquid or gas, especially by means of the light they scatter. The word cloud is used throughout the Word of God. It's amazing to see how many times that word is used. What I've done today is just to put on the screen the Greek word nephos, nephele. When you go to the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verse 10, you will read, "And it came to pass, as Aaron spoke unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud." I would encourage you to record that passage of Scripture, Exodus 16:10. Clouds present divine presence. It would be wonderful if we could realize that even today, as we go out and look into the sky and see the clouds, if we could understand that clouds present divine presence. We see divine presence on every hand. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that even when you look at a tree or you look at a blade of grass, whenever you see any of these things, you have to understand that it is God who's made all of this possible. The word clouds presented in the Bible presents divine presence. "And it came to pass, as Aaron spoke unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." The glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. When you go to Exodus chapter 33, verse 9, you will read, "And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses." I'm going slowly today on these verses because I want you to see how unique they are. "It came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the pillar descended, stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses." Our verse of scripture for today is Numbers 11:25. "Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke unto Moses." The Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to Moses. In Isaiah chapter 19, verse 1, you see it on the screen. "The burden of Egypt. Behold, the Lord rides upon a swift cloud and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it." If we would only realize how wonderful God is and how his presence is known in all of our lives on a daily basis. Do we recognize, do we understand, do we comprehend the fact that God is present with us? We need to do that. The word clouds is used many ways in the Word of God. We spend just a few moments to let you see. Clouds, for instance, portray great armies or great masses of people. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, thousands of people will return in resurrection bodies with the Lord Jesus Christ at the second advent. Just my mentioning of that should remind you in your mind's eye to take a look at the entire timeline and see the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel, the intercalated period, the church age, the tribulation, the millennium, and looking out across the span of time from one side to the other. And look at Revelation 1:7, where it says, in essence, thousands and thousands of people will return in resurrection bodies with the Lord Jesus Christ at the second advent. Clouds portray great armies or great groups of people, great masses of individuals. Number two, clouds disappearing represents the blotting out of sins. The prophet Isaiah, some 600 or 700 years before Jesus Christ came on the scene, tells us in Isaiah 44:22 that when clouds disappear, it's symbolic of the fact that there's the blotting out of sins. Do you realize how wonderful and important it is to know that your sins have been cleansed, blotted out? Isaiah 44:22. Roman numeral 3, the days of clouds is a season of catastrophic and divine judgment. It's interesting to see how different ways the word clouds used in the Word of God. In Lamentations chapter 2, verse 1, Ezekiel 30, verse 3, Ezekiel 34, verse 12, Joel chapter 2, verse 2, the day of clouds presents catastrophic and divine judgment. Roman numeral 4. The cloud is a symbol of something temporary. A cloud is a symbol of something that is not enduring, transitory. Most of us have looked into the sky and we've watched clouds as they've moved. Clouds are there and then clouds disappear. The cloud then is a symbol, Roman numerals 4, of something temporary, not enduring, transitory. Life is like that. Life is like that. We're here for 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years or more. However long the Lord allows you and me to live, when you realize that you compare 100 years or less to 1 million or 1 billion, it's a very brief time indeed. Why is it that we put such focus, such attention? Why is it that we magnify these brief years to the point that we exclude in our thinking eternity? Cloud is a symbol of something temporary, not enduring, transitory. Roman numeral 5, clouds without rain is a human promise without fulfillment. We see that in Isaiah 18:4 and Isaiah 25:5 and Jude verse 12. It's amazing to me to find what is presented to us in that little book, the book of Jude. Clouds without rain, human promise without fulfillment. Quickly, Roman numeral 6. When you go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, a magnificent picture of the fact that false teachers are presented by means of clouds. Oftentimes, clouds portray teachers that are false. Number 7, clouds portray divine presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is presented to us by way of theophanies. What is a theophany? A theophany is an appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Exodus 16:10, Exodus 33:9, Numbers 11:25, Job 22:14. Am I giving you a bunch of verses? I am. Clouds portray divine presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Presented in the New Testament, presented in the Old Testament. We see Jesus on every page of the Word of God, in every book of the Bible. Roman numeral 8. Clouds, cloud formation portrays the power and the wisdom of God. It's amazing to me to be able to see the Greek word for wisdom, Sophia, which simply means not only having the ability to know something, but the ability to take what you know and make application of it, utilize it, apply it. So the word cloud formation portrays power. The word power is the Greek word used oftentimes dunamis, which means the word dynamite. And you and I realize that God's word is dynamite. It explodes. It blows things aside. Cloud formation portrays the power. Dynamite, dunamis, wisdom, Sophia of God. Am I enjoying this? Yes. Number 9. Clouds are used to illustrate man's ignorance. I'm learning some things about this. I'm learning after all these many years, where the Apostle Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, and he said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep. And I found out something that perhaps you already knew, that the word ignorant doesn't mean stupid. The word ignorant doesn't mean without any knowledge. The word there means that the information is available, but individuals have chosen not to take advantage of it. Are you with me? Do you see what I'm saying? In other words, God has given to us so many truths, and yet we do not oftentimes take advantage of it. It doesn't mean that we're dumb. It doesn't mean that we're ignorant from the standpoint that we don't know anything. It means that the information is available, and we have not taken advantage of it. That's the way God's Word is. Now, there are many things I do not know. I'll have to be the first to tell you, and you already know it, but I'll have to tell you something else about yourself. There are many things you don't know. You pick a subject, whatever the subject is. Some of you are very versed in various areas of terminology and work, and that's wonderful. It may be your field, and that's where you've spent a lot of time, and you have a knowledge. Doctors have knowledge in a field. Theologians have knowledge in a field. Scientists have knowledge in a field. All I'm trying to do is to tell you that we don't have oftentimes the ability to say, I know all about this subject. The reason is not because we're dumb. It is not because we're ignorant. It is because the available information is there, but we have not presented ourselves to receive that information. Are you following? That's the way God's Word is. Clouds are used to illustrate mankind's ignorance. Doesn't mean that people are dumb. It doesn't mean that people have access to the information and they've not taken advantage of it. And that's what bothers me about myself. After 60 some odd years of preaching, I'm finding things I've never seen before. Has that been because I'm dumb? Is that because I'm ignorant? No, it's because the information is there, and now it's becoming alive to me. That's the way God's Word is to all of us. Now, I have to be careful. I'm going to get to preaching here, and I need to go to Roman numeral 10. Clouds close the scene of the incarnation. Clouds close the scene of the transfiguration. Many things God has let us see. One of the things that He let us see is that when we come to the observance of the Lord's table, it's a time of quietness. It's a time of reverence. It's a time when we are reminded to be sure that we're in harmony and fellowship with our Lord. A person doesn't have to be a member of this church to observe the Lord's table. There's one requirement, and that is, one, that you be born into God's kingdom. And the other requirement, of course, is that we be in right relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the reason why this insert in today's bulletin is so very important, restoration of fellowship. In a few moments, we're going to spend some time in silence. And that will be the beginning of the observance of the Lord's table. And it will be for the purpose of all of us having time to be sure that our hearts are in tune. And then we'll observe and thank God for everything that He has done and is doing and will do for us in the future. May we pray together as our men come for the observance of the Lord's table. We're reading a passage of Scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul is writing to the believers at Corinth. He says, I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I'm reading now continually, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup in the Lord's in an unmannerly way, an unworthy way, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let us examine ourselves, and let us eat the bread, drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not properly judge. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and some even are dead. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we will not be judged. For when we're judged by the Lord, we're disciplined by the Lord in order that we may not be condemned along with the ungodly lost world. So then, my brethren, now that we've come together, let us wait for a few moments. Let us realize the importance of being in right relationship with our Lord as we observe this magnificent time. Father, we're grateful today for the willingness of our Savior to come to the earth and go to the cross to bear our sins. And Father, we're thankful for the fact that you were willing to give your Son. He was willing to come to do this. We do not deserve salvation at all. We do not deserve the blessings of life at all. But we bow now to express our thanks for your matchless grace. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It is our custom to retain the bread until all have been served. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. The bread represents the Lord Jesus Christ, whose body was broken for us. Take, eat thereof. Father, again, we rejoice in the fact that we are saved by your grace. We have the assurance that one of these days we will leave this life, either by means of the rapture or by means of physical death. And upon our departure from this earth, we're to be in our presence, in the presence of our Lord forever and ever. And we're thankful for that. Help us to rejoice in the fact that we're your children, that we have the assurance that Jesus Christ is our personal Savior, that heaven is our eternal home. We are thankful for every blessing, everything you've done for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is also our custom to retain the cup until all have been served. We have not been redeemed by corrupt things like silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot or blemish. Remember, as we take this cup, We are aware of his willingness to be our substitute. Take and drink thereof. We're now going to sing. We now survey the wondrous cross. Thank you, gentlemen. We'll stand together as we sing, and it's page 324, I believe. If you'll find that in your hymnal and turn, when I survey the wondrous cross.
Would you stand with me as we sing?
Such love and sorrow.